You're listening to Compassion Radio. Well, this was a long time coming. Fred Heumann from Music Works International, Serve Ukraine, our good friend and our liaison to all things happening right now with the church in Ukraine. Welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Great to be back. I'm sorry it's been so long. It's been a crazy time.
It has been. And during the time that we were chatting by text back and forth, you were bouncing all over Ukraine between a lull in the fighting and a sudden ramp up of things. The church is trying very hard to stay active on all fronts, literally. We have a number of our friends that are on the front lines right now serving the troops that are out there, evacuating the wounded, attending to the orphans and the needs of churches that are stuck behind enemy lines. It is a hot mess. It has been for a good year or so.
Yeah, indeed.
And you spend a lot of time helping to equip and encourage those who are worship leaders in training, the theology of worship, that kind of stuff. That has never gone away for you. Give me, if you can, Fred, an update of where you traveled and what the high points were. And we'll cover that, hopefully, in one or two programs.
Super. Well, again, great to be with you and with all the Compassion Radio listeners. Thanks for your prayers and support. The time was very intriguing. There was a lot of God opportunities, God connections, heading into Poland and working alongside both a Ukrainian Baptist church in the center of Poland and the Baptist Union of Poland. The church in the center of Warsaw now has a constituency of about 3,000 people.
Yeah. Those are all Ukrainian speakers.
Ukrainian speakers. Well, they're all Ukrainians. They're not all Ukrainian speakers.
Okay.
So, which adds to the interest, right? I was part of a slightly larger team. We got there the next morning. We helped pack food for about 500 people.
Wow.
And then that evening, we distributed it to 500 people who were there for a brief meeting there in the center of Warsaw.
So Warsaw really is the jumping off point for all things related to liaison with the church, no matter where they are in Ukraine.
Well, it's the easiest place to fly into if you're coming from the West. I mean, you could do from Krakow. Some people are operating out of Budapest. I think Warsaw makes the most sense because that's where most of the refugees have wound up, because that's where most of the provision for them was available. Yeah. But this Ukrainian Baptist church had to split from where they were meeting in what you would call First Baptist Warsaw, as if that doesn't sound so weird, to a building nearby because they had outgrown the facility. And now they've got a brand new facility, and they're challenged to deal with that number of people. The small team we're a part of also did some help with Polish folks who needed food. So in the rain, that was kind of interesting. Then we went down to partner with Pro-Am Ministries, which has a number of links here in the U.S., but their conference center down southwest of Warsaw is where we had 20 of our students who've been studying for the last 5 months together for a retreat. And these Ukrainian students had come everywhere from between Spain and Norway to Warsaw for 3 days.
So these are all students that you would have had at the seminaries in Kyiv or other parts of the country before and have all been evacuated over the past year and a half, are living in different countries because they found asylum there.
Yeah, that's exactly right, why they're spread out. And not all of these were my personal students. One of our team members, Stephen Brooks, has a ministry called Worship Quest, and we're partnering with them, part of their study program. We've been teaching as part of that, as of others. So we had a few in that one. And then we actually did one the following week in Lviv, inside Ukraine, and we had 50. And in there was probably 15 of them who were either my colleagues or my students. The beauty is those kids came from all over Ukraine. So the time in Poland was absolutely amazing.
Awesome.
Hearing the stories, seeing what they're facing, what they're going through. I was given the task of kind of having the pastoral moment, talk to them about creativity and the character of God. In other words, how does God see the creative?
Let me hold you there for a second, Fred. You have teaching opportunities, and that's what we consider pastoral because you have a pulpit to preach from. But as a pastor, you're also hearing the stories of these kids that are spread all over Europe.
Yeah.
Was there any consistent theme for the kind of stories they had to tell about their isolation or how they're seeking God in a different culture and what they're experiencing of him in their isolation away from their culture?
Well, I probably have a couple more straight from the time in Lviv, but these are kids who have been kids. Well, you know, I'm old. Anyway, anybody younger than 40 is a kid.
Yeah.
Anyway, young people, students, they were just glad to be with other Ukrainians.
I'll bet.
Just the chance to speak their language freely and to have people who are also of similar ilk, who are dealing with worship and being a part of church staff. trying to survive in another culture, just the chance to be away in this beautiful location on a river in Poland was a huge, huge gift to them. They just needed that time away to reconnect. To be so close to Ukraine and not go in, you know, I'm sure that was frustrating for a number of them, but to sense the sweetness of the times of musical worship together. And then the pastoral part of it actually was, we had the opportunity to pray and lay hands over each of them. And that was kind of my bailiwick. So just pray for them, encourage them, and then commission them again, with both with the information they've received and then the calling that they already have, that God hasn't abandoned them just because they're way across the continent. You know, lots of them have still many family back in Ukraine.
Yes.
So the loneliness, I mean, the best way to describe it is trying to deal with the loneliness. I mean, it was way too short. It was like 3 days. Are you kidding me? That's hardly enough.
Yeah.
But that's what we had. And then I think that our team was pretty impressed by all of that and the chance to be with them. Then we went from there, had some connection with the Polish Baptist Union. Long story. You will know the group I'm talking to. Many of your listeners won't. But the head of the Baptist Union in Poland was a direct product of the ministry of Living Sound.
Yeah. We've done a whole series with Living Sound, and Jim Gilbert spent some good time with us.
There you go.
Kind of walking us through what that generation was like when the implosion of the Soviet Union was happening before our very eyes, and the fruit that came from that, not just positive fruit either. There was a lot of challenges that are bearing really bad fruit now.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. But to sit there with Marek over coffee, I guess not tea, in his office, because where we stayed was the same compound as his offices, and to hear his heart for the church in Poland, and then to be part of a baptismal service on the Sunday morning, and then on the Sunday night to have a dinner with him, and just hear his dreams and the opportunities to connect even with Polish worship leaders. He's just convinced, as somebody who is a direct product of that ministry, that there's a lot of training that needs to happen there. And then to back up, the center in Pro-Am, the people there have a connection to a couple of churches here in the U.S. and through somebody I had met with. So I had time with these guys who are passionate, passionate worshipers, excellent musicians. Their recordings have gotten so popular in the country that two of their songs are the top two songs used by the Catholic Church in worship.
Awesome. That was the thing that really kind of surprised all of us back in the 80s, was how much willingness there was between a Catholic world and what we would consider an evangelical, even Pentecostal world. We're actually sitting down together, having dinner and writing songs together back in the 80s.
Yeah, and I think it's partly the fruit of what we just talked about. You know, Jim, Don Moen, Terry Law, all the guys in Living Sound and their investment in the church as a whole, capital C. I mean, I remember being there in 1975. Come on, I'm really old. And we were just outside of Kraków in southwest Poland, and these giant cathedrals were open, and they were jammed to the gills, hear what we had to say.
Yeah.
And we had been invited by the bishop, and the bishop's name was Karol Wojtyła. What did he ever do? Maybe he became pope, like he did become pope.
Yeah, learned to dress in white.
John Paul II.
John Paul II was an interesting character, too, that had a lot of things going on back in his home country, even while he was pope. And I don't often read about popes that have stayed active in the issues of their own home country while they're holding high office.
Yeah.
He was an interesting character.
Yeah. And just sidebar, Benedict is, you know, predecessor of the current pope. Anyway, you know, Benedict was actually a strong theologian in the area of worship, and his writing is still influencing all kinds of people, even outside the Catholic Church.
So the fruit of that is that the communities, even between Catholic, traditional, and the more evangelical, modern denominations, are still in conversation and are still collaborating together to find ways to bring worship alive in their generation.
Yeah, and I think that's true. I know that's true. And Marek, who's the head of the Baptist Union, he's been struggling or having to deal with all these Ukrainians. And his job is to maintain relationship there, to try to encourage those who are there. This Ukrainian Baptist Church is actually under the authority of the Ukrainian Baptist Union. But obviously, they're not just working together. Those leaders in those countries are saying, how do we help one another?
And that's an amazing rapprochement that's happened in the past 2,000 years of Christianity, was what we witnessed in the lives of the people that were in Ukraine in 2017, 2018. They had stood in the Maidan and for the first time in 1,500 years actually occupied the same physical space as the leadership of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. And there have been more gentle approaches between the denominations and the Catholic Church in the world than anything within Orthodox. the Russians that were trying to topple the then very tender democracy. They came out of the woods together and actually took the risk of their own lives on behalf of other Christian believers who were not of their camp.
Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. And note our new mailing address, which is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And now, back to the broadcast.
They came out of the woods together and actually took the risk of their own lives on behalf of other Christian believers who were not of their camp.
Oh, yeah.
And in Ukraine, that was a big stinking deal.
It still is. You get me going here. And it's still true to see the leaders that we know of the Ukrainian church, both in the Protestant church and on the National Religious Council. These guys in the National Religious Council is the Orthodox Church of Ukraine, the leaders of Islam, the Jewish community, the Greek Catholic community, our friend Yvonne, who was with the Ukrainian Evangelical Church, the head of the Pentecostal Union, and the head of the Baptist Union. These guys are all working together as one, and they're all working together. That's astounding. And the Protestants, too, as well, in standing up for what needs to happen in Ukraine, and indeed what's recently happened to free up some funding for Ukraine. That's a whole nother broadcast.
Well, good. The other sidebar for our listeners that don't know anything about the history of these denominations and why this is unique in the history of Christendom, this is not what we would think of using the word ecumenicalism. Now, in the West, we hear ecumenicalism and think, oh, this is the watering down, the dissolving of all things that are the passionate values and core faith of one group and diluting it by trying to find the lowest common denominator. That's what we have an impression of when it comes to terms like ecumenicalism. The ecumen that's happening right now in Ukraine between these leaders and even inviting in imams from the Muslim community and the Tatars of Crimea that are currently under occupation is exactly the opposite, in that they're all encouraged to bring the passion of their faith to the meeting. Yeah. And when they sit down and pray, they stand knowing that their leaders are in the same room to do God work.
That's incredible to see working together in Warsaw. Forgot to mention the Ukrainian Baptist Church, 300 or 400 people. It was astounding because it's more active rather than just all the sudden. We always have a difficult time when people bless them. I said, we're going to take 2 minutes but on our knees. It was palpable. When we left Poland, we took the bus. It was only 3 hours at the border. We had some time in and around Christian radio in Lviv, but fun. It was funny, interactive. We had people who had come from Kharkiv, which is literally under attack daily, multiple times a day. Kherson, one young gal, her father had driven her 15 hours from Zaporizhia and spent the next day hanging around Lviv and then drove her back for 15 hours. Dear guy who's teaching youth ministry at a seminary in Kyiv, and his wife is one of my students. Misha has been my translator. We love those guys. He's there, their crew, people who've been our students in Kyiv and in Lviv, getting to see them and hear what God's doing in their lives.
Okay, Fred, what did you find out about the way the worship life is in places like Kherson? Is it alive?
The challenge, I don't know that I can give you direct information about Kherson. Well, except near Kherson, I know it's happening. Because there's a church outside of Kherson that had been taken over by Russian soldiers early on. They've moved out of their own building, which is now taken over by soldiers, but they're still meeting in small groups and are relating to their pastor, who's actually had to come to the States. But their worship leader was there.
So the body of believers there in that area around Kherson, they're still meeting, and that's the person that was smuggled out of that war zone to get to you for this retreat.
We got people like that. Yeah, Melitopol, Kherson, Kharkiv, Zaporizhia, loads from other parts of the country that were so desperate to be together. The times of musical worship, gorgeous place just outside of Lviv, and I thought the roof was going to blow off. Blew the roof off. I mean, I was worried for the building.
Noise or something else happening? Something spiritual, earthquake?
Yes. Both the passion, the intensity, the times of prayer. You and I have been in a lot of different kinds of denominational settings, but a lot of these guys would be fairly quiet in their approach. They were not quiet. Hmm. We had a time of open prayer, and they're stepping on each other, praying out loud, just begging and petitioning the Lord. It was gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
Other people were teaching the theological parts. I was teaching theology, but mine was more saying, here's how God views you. This is why you're valuable.
Yeah.
This is why you're gifted the way you are. Because some of these guys are the ones who've taken over for other worship pastors who had to leave the country.
Right. Or who are on front lines fighting, too, for that matter.
Well, there is that, too. One sweet gal, honestly, was talking about the abuse she suffered. That's probably all I should say to maintain confidentiality, but be able to pray with her and help her walk through those kinds of things and have others stand with her.
If you're talking about women leaders, which you have been very positively focused on how God has been using the women of Ukraine to bring real life back into the worship life of all the age ranges and all of the different denominational settings, women are really powerfully involved with shaping the future of worship in that country. They are at most risk, obviously. So this girl that you're ministering to is having to maintain her role and her spiritual authority as a worship leader, a priest within the body, and has a whole closet full of trauma, is what you're saying.
Yeah. To her credit, she's been having some counseling and walking it through, and I didn't feel like she was being in denial about it, but she was in a good place but needed to talk about it. So it's like, you know, and especially now, whether men are at the front line or a lot of the women have left the country,
yes,
but still, because there are a lot of women involved, they're there and doing it. I'll mention one other thing that happened. Then I wound up going to Kyiv, and we can come back for another episode, I guess. In Kyiv, I was at the church of this couple I just mentioned. He's teaching youth ministry, Misha and Ola, at their church, and met with their leaders on a Saturday morning. They weren't sure what they wanted to do, kind of relaunching it's in the academic area, an area of Kyiv called Akademishchechko. Lots of high rises, lots of students. They're right next to the McDonald's. And we had time that morning with about 20 to 30, 20s and 30s. The older people in the worship team didn't want to come. They weren't sure what I'd be like. They just wanted question and answer. The pastor was there, who's my age, and another pastor. We had all this question and answer time. And in the middle of this, I told them about the prayer meeting in Warsaw. Now, Misha is a great translator, but he could also be a little hyper. Imagine that, a youth leader being a little hyper. Imagine me being subtle and calm, right? And
there's only so many things I can go to, Fred. That's not one.
Yeah, let's not. It's for the sake of your listeners. It's going to be a whole series, I think.
Yeah.
I'm telling the story about everybody on their knees, and Misha mistranslated it.
As
right now, we're going to get on our knees.
Good man.
That was not my intent. That's not where we were going. But all of a sudden, everybody, including the pastor, are on their knees. And I said, okay, let's do this. Let's pray for this. And people are starting to weep. The pastor is prostrate on the floor, weeping. I'm flat on my face on the carpet. And we're praying for Ukraine and weeping. And it was like a flood of the Holy Spirit in the room. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit who did the translating.
You think. This is a McDonald's?
No, it's next to a McDonald's.
Okay. Not that I would put this past the Holy Spirit to have that happen right in McDonald's, but it is the great meeting place of all generations in that country, of course.
Oh, gosh, and it's decent. And I can't say that about McDonald's in the U.S. Sorry.
Good food, good folks, good fun.
But here's the point.
Yeah.
After that happened, after they weren't sure, they said, well, we need to retreat. Will you come back in the fall and do a retreat?
And let's, you said yes, of course.
Well, duh. But it's the pastor who said it. Some of their leaders weren't open to it, so we're making plans for that. But, Ram, here's the bottom line. Less than a week later, before I left Poland, stuff fell out of the sky less than a kilometer from that church. I said it because we don't know. It was a direct hit. They're blowing so many things up before they hit the ground. But that's the reality of it. That's certainly sobered me up a bit. I don't think it stopped me. But it's like, okay, there's this kind of thing going on even in the midst of it. And I also had time with our good friend Oleg, and maybe that's another story.
Yes, we need to talk more about him soon. Just following along his recent posts on some of the private channels, there's a real crisis of faith happening in the country. The war is on for them, for their souls at this point. So we need to be lifting them up in a very special way.
You've talked about this a lot. I've been on here talking about it a lot. That's not just a phrase.
It's not.
That is reality. It's much easier to say than to even learn to deal with or to sit across the table, as I did at a KFC in Kyiv with Oleg and hear about the last couple of years.
Okay, yes, let's come back for the second program on that one as soon as we can. Often we say, we talk about opportunity, that there's that Kairos moment where the windows or the doors are open, you can walk right through, and there's not a problem reaching somebody. But the urgency always is, you never know when that door is going to shut. So we talk about that as a metaphor. What you're saying about the church, even in Kyiv, being brought to the sensitivity of being prostrate before God on the floor praying for us, when they're doing that, they're not worried about a door being shut on them tomorrow. They're worried about the building falling down on top of them.
And you know what? They're not even worried about that, because this church, this pastor, we laughed about the fact that, you know, he's like 6 months older than me.
Yeah.
So we joked about that amongst all these 20-year-olds. He has specifically brought in this younger group like we would think a pastor would bring in his successor.
Hmm.
Most pastors in an evangelical situation don't think about succession.
Right.
Kind of happens, right? So not only is he thinking about it, he is trying to steer the church so it is ready for the realities of the future. In fact, they've changed the name to Re-Church.
There you go.
Golden Church. Revive, rebuild, reconnect, et cetera, et cetera. So the fact is, I walked around, and we'll talk about some of this next time. I drove around Kyiv and I saw cranes everywhere, and I'm not talking birds.
Right.
I mean, they're rebuilding things.
In the middle of the war.
Met people having babies, who are planning weddings, who are thinking ahead. And this church is thinking till Jesus returns, till the new heaven and the new earth. And it's like, they're not waiting. They're not sitting on their haunches. They're saying, what are we called to do now in light of eternity? What are we called to do now in the light of the future? What does real hope mean?
And I'm thrilled that they're not just considering that, but they're applying it. If I see a crane in the sky, I say that's ambition. For a country like Ukraine, I'm saying that's faith.
Oh, yeah. And it's putting their legs to their faith.
Yeah. Well, Fred, it's great to get caught up with you just a little bit here. I know as soon as you get back to Nashville, we need to sit down and talk some more about the second chapter in this story. What it's like to sit down with old friends who are feeling very old indeed right now in the face of great threats and the losses they've gone through, and how do we help them lament things they have lost and still hold on to that hope. But what you said about this succession issue, this pastor is looking at his young people as being direct successors. It's like looking at the beginning of the captivity 70 years out and saying, I'm going to train these infants now because they're going to be successors and they're going to be Ezra's and Nehemiah's, and they're going to build this thing up much faster than we could have imagined it possible. Like they're believing for God to give them the strength and the resources to do something that has never been done in world history, which is pretty much rebuilding an entire country in months, if not a minimum amount of years, with a lot less resources than America poured into Europe after World War II. They are living in that immediate future, which I'm thrilled about, but I'm scared to death about what happens when those investments get destroyed too, which might happen over the next few years.
Well, yeah, and this is a prime location where they are. It's prime for the people who live nearby. Could be a prime target in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's already been attacked. But you know what? Honestly, these are the craziest, most spiritual people I've ever met.
Amen to that. Well, Fred, you get the last word. Encourage us on how we should be praying right now for the believers, our brothers and sisters in Ukraine.
We need to be praying that they understand, as I talked on the Sunday morning there, about the biblical nature of hope, that it's not just wishful thinking,
right,
but it's a secure future.
Hmm.
You know, Hebrews says we have this hope as an anchor for our souls. And it's not just, gosh, I hope. We need to pray that they grasp on a real biblical hope, that the Lord has not abandoned them, that they are not alone, and that they continue to look forward and not wallow in the past. They're not wallowing anyway, but they need to continue to look to what God is calling them to do now, in the next year, in the next month, as this country gets rebuilt. We need to continue to pray for wisdom for them as they walk this through in front of other friends.
Yeah, it's no small thing to say that our future is depending upon today's hope. And God's living in all these places, so we don't have to worry about his presence not showing up. But we certainly, I think, have to deal with what we have right in front of us for right now.
Those two events that I mentioned just brought home the fact that sometimes his presence is manifest even in war zone.
Yes, he is. Fred, thank you again for being our eyes and ears. You see what they see. That's why I look to you to help us understand it better. Godspeed to you.
Can do it.
Bless you.
Cheers.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless him.
Compassion Radio is still the radio voice of the global church, and that's completely due to the Lord's provision through you. Give online today at CompassionRadio.com or call us at 1-800-868-2478
or write us P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.